One late one there. Good morning. We are trying something a little bit different with my mic. They lowered it down because apparently there were times where it wasn't coming through when I turned my head or something, so they're trying something new with the mic system. Thank you for bringing the PowerPoint up. Today we were actually going to be a little bit different service, and yes, there's nothing wrong with your bulletin. There are no sermon notes today. Multiple people say, where are the notes? Where are the notes? Where are the notes? Well, the notes didn't happen this week for a couple reasons. One is because this is going to be an annual meeting. And the second one is that this week I was gone Wednesday and Thursday because our fourth grandchild was born, Talia Mae Norris. And I have pictures to prove it, that I was there. Now, another confession, I did not hold the baby. I don't know what to do with a little peanut like that. But I did talk to her and play with her, but I didn't pick her up or break her or anything. So I did play with the other kids too. So I was gone 2 days this week. That put me behind the eight ball. But also this is going to be a congregational meeting. And but we are going to do many things very similarly. So at BAC, we strive to be walking in intimacy with God as we're loving, growing, giving, and going. We want to walk in intimacy with God and inviting others to do the same. So here's your gentle accountability. So last week, I actually went out to dinner with someone else, and I totally forgot about about table talk. But right before the end of the meal, someone brought up, hey, what about table talk? And so we got into it. So I can have a smiley face today. Okay, look to your neighbor. Smiley face if you remembered, frowny face if you didn't. Okay, good enough. Great is thy faithfulness. In 2017, actually, I guess technically I need to do some things. I'm looking around and the chair is going to declare that we have a quorum. And I think we need a third of the membership, and I believe a third is here. So unless someone objects to it, the chair is declaring that a quorum is present, and I'm going to call the meeting to order. And now here's basically what we're going to do. I'm going to give a brief overview of the year, and then I'm going to talk about the theme, the scriptural theme that I sense the Lord laying on my heart, Luke 4, 19 and 20. And then we're going to close this service. We're going to adopt the reports that you've been given. They've been written and distributed. We're going to adopt those. We're going to have the closing song. Then we're going to have coffee and conversation. We're going to have about a 15-minute recess and then come back if anyone has questions and answers. Okay, so I'm going to present big picture of what's happened. We're going to adopt the reports. We're going to close. And then we're going to take a 15-minute recess for coffee and conversation, use restrooms, and we're going to come back. And anyone that has any questions, Trevor will be back in here to answer them for you. We've got a couple people traveling. Our treasurer's traveling. He's away visiting his mother-in-law in PA, and our head elder's away. But we will do our best to answer any questions that you might have. My theme for this morning is great is Abba's faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. 2017 has been full of God's great faithfulness. It's been a year of transitions, a lot of transitions. Transitions have three things, and I've actually studied transitions, understanding them helps me a little bit. Transitions have endings. Every transition has an ending to something. And usually we don't like endings. Endings aren't that much fun. I've had some severe endings this year, and they're not fun. Endings are followed by what different authors call a neutral zone. So something ends, and now we enter what's called the neutral zone, and it's uncomfortable. You don't know who you are. You don't know where you are. I don't know what I am right now. I don't know if it's our grandchild or my grandchild. I'm in a neutral zone still. I had some endings, and it's Tweenerville, okay? Tweenerville. And in one sense, as a congregation, we had a little bit of Tweenerville because we're in a year of transition, but that's normal. It's okay. And then eventually there are new beginnings. There are new beginnings. But every transition, I believe, has these three elements. The first two, not so much fun. The new beginnings, more fun. Okay, but I think that we are in a time of transitions. Here's just some of them. Pastor Mark left in 2016. Jeff and Lynette accepted the call in 2017. It's one of the huge transitions. Some things came to an end. We're in transition time, and we're having some new beginnings. Big brushstrokes. This is just big picture. Okay, I'm taking out of the reports just the big picture. Our attendance, and I contacted the national office and said, hey, can you send me some past reports? And so if you look at this, here's our basic overall attendance since 2001 through 2017. You can see that we are climbing a little bit, and down just a little bit now. And again, that can be due to some transitions. But the good news is we're pretty consistent. The bad news is we didn't blow through the chart. Okay? That's membership. Attendance was very similar. Our overall attendance, very similar to our membership. You know, we were gradually up, had a high year here, and then down, and now back up a little bit. We're moving in the right direction. That's the good news. Amen? Finances. Finances, same thing. You can see that we were moving gradually up, and we came down a little bit this year. And I think we can understand a little bit of that. But hopefully that trend will change. But I'm more concerned about trends and looking at trends. The Great Commission Fund, this is probably the best news that we have. Look at our Great Commission Fund. And the Great Commission Fund is what we send for missions with the Christian Missionary Alliance. Whenever we invest any money and send it to the Great Commission Fund, it supports missionaries literally around the world. Since I have started talking, at least two people prayed to receive Jesus Christ somewhere around the world because of Alliance Ministry, just Alliance Ministry, because of our prayer support and financial support. The average is every 3 minutes, someone prays to receive Jesus Christ somewhere around the globe because of Alliance Ministry, whether it's here in church planting or overseas. We are almost 10 times larger overseas. So what we do is we send the best guys overseas, and the rest of the lame ducks we send as pastors and district superintendents. That's my theory. So this is a great, praise the Lord. One of the overall goals in the whole denomination is that each church give at least 10% of their income to the Great Commission Fund to missions. And we're probably near 15%, 13.4. I rounded up quite a bit there. 13.4. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord again? Salvations. Again, in 2011, 2013, last year, in 16, we had 7. This year, we didn't have any reported. There may have been some at funerals or things, but we did not record any. I'm trusting that that's going to change. As we befriend our non-Christian friends and simply let the Holy Spirit through us, I think the Holy Spirit, you can't make it happen, but you can present yourself as a living sacrifice. And when people see Christ in us, they're going to be drawn to Him. And I believe we're going to see many, 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 many more salvations. In fact, in a month, the month before, just heads up, the month before Easter. Anyone know when Easter is? April 1st is Easter. So the month of March, I'm going to be talking about friendship evangelism every week. Every week. Because here's kind of the good news. If you invite someone for Palm Sunday, chances are they're going to come. If you begin now praying for who you're going to invite to come to Palm Sunday, that's the Sunday before Easter. And statistically, when do most people attend church? On what day? We call them CE believers. Christmas and Easter, CE believers. So if you invite them, and chances are if they will come on Palm Sunday, they will come on Easter. And if they come two times in a row, there's a high probability they will come a third time. So please be praying and asking the Lord who He wants you to invite to Palm Sunday. Did that make sense? So I'm going to be challenging you through the month of March to invite people for the last Sunday in March, and then also invite them to Easter here at the church. And at Easter, we're going to have a sunrise service, snow, rain, sleet, or whatever. We're having one, okay? We did last year. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. We watched the sun come up. The sun comes up. I don't even know my, yeah, it comes up right over there. Beautiful sunrise. We're going to do a sunrise service and then a regular service again. And also be prepared because this year during Monday, during Holy Week, we're going to have a Monday, Thursday service. Monday, Thursday. The elders approved this. Thursday is when Jesus had the Last Supper. So we're going to kind of mimic that. And we're going to have a meal, communion, and then we're going to have a toe washing service. Anyone ever been to one of those? Okay, we're going to do one. And again, we'll work out all the hygiene. You don't worry about that stuff. Men will wash men's feet. Ladies will wash ladies' feet. So that afternoon, make sure you take a shower and clip the toenails and all that kind of good stuff, okay? I will be, I promise. Okay, that's kind of what's going to happen. Baptisms. Again, here's our kind of trek that in 2011, 13 was a high, 15, 16, and 17. And we trusted the Lord for the Lord that we're going to have many more baptisms as people pray to receive Christ and follow him in baptism. Now, another thing, intentionally overspending for critical maintenance. Income versus expenses. This one even got fancy and put colors too. Green is our income. We had this much income. A little about $275,000, we spent $309,000, okay? But the reason for that, that was intentional. We repaired, these are just three of the biggies. There were many other projects that happened. We repaired and sided the gym wall that was leaking and doing causing all kinds of problems. That was probably one of the biggest expenses. Carpeting of the nursery. Heating and AC in the nursery, and there's been all kinds of other small maintenance things going on. So this was intentionally doing this. We did not just spend money like we know Washington, D.C. does, because we can't just make more of it. So we can't just print more. So this is, you know, that red is real big, but that was intentional to take care of our building and critical areas. Preaching themes in 2017. It was, jump two there. I guess I can't push it just once. Deeper life in Christ. You guys know that's my passion. It's why I'm still in the Alliance. God desires an intimate relationship with each one of you. And that is just a true reality. The deeper life in Christ, God not only loves you, he likes you. Even when you don't like yourself. I don't like myself sometimes. Last night I burnt brownies. I did not like myself. And the smell was atrocious. I like gooey underbaked and I overbaked. I got busy on the phone with someone. Oh man, it stunk the whole house up. God not only loves you, you know I'm teasing. It's true about the brownies. I threw the whole thing away, throw them all away. That hurt. And I tried to eat them and I couldn't. And I put a whole bunch of ice cream. I still couldn't get it down. Oh, my goodness. God not only loves you, he likes you. He does. And the enemy does not want you to know that. He does not want you to know that. And here's living proof every single day. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Who's saying this? And who's he saying it to? All believers. All believers. Every single day, he wants to have an intimacy with each one of us. Also in the preaching theme was a deeper life in the Christ of sanctification. In the CNMA, we believe that each believer ultimately should come to a place where you realize the Christian life isn't hard. It's impossible. It's impossible. And that we give a more complete surrender over to the Lord. If you're still fighting that battle and trying to defeat sin on your own, please turn it over to the Lord. I do it every day. Every day. Every day. And then also with the deeper life is being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to touch on that a little bit later with our theme verse. apart from the Holy Spirit's filling, we cannot live the victorious Christian life. It is not possible. We are to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Earlier this year, I shared with you guys in one of the messages, the Holy Spirit convicted me that I was neglecting Him. I was focusing so much on Abba, Father, and Jesus and neglecting Him. I never want to neglect the Holy Spirit. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord God Almighty, three persons in one being, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one who puts up with us 24/7. We need to honor Him, acknowledge Him, and give Him control. I also preached on the fourfold gospel, Jesus our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, Coming King, and then the core values of the Christian Missionary Alliance. The first core value is lost people matter to God. He wants us to find them. Second core value, prayer is a primary work of God's people. And you know, I asked permission to modify this slightly. If you look at the National Office website, it says prayer is the primary work. I talked to the president and my district superintendent for permission to modify it. I believe it is a primary work. The primary work that we have is to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is the number one thing for all of our lives. The next one, everything belongs to God. We are His stewards. This one I also got permission from the president and the district superintendent. The CNMA says, knowing and obeying God's word is fundamental to all true success. I ask permission to add, knowing God and obeying His word is fundamental to all true success. Again, our knowing God, our intimacy with God, is the number one thing in all of our lives. And if you don't understand that, please come and talk to me or Pastor Trevor. Pastor Trevor is now in here and he's ready to answer all our questions. Completing the Great Commission, getting the good news out to all peoples, will require the mobilization of every fully devoted disciple. Without the Holy Spirit's empowerment, we can accomplish nothing. That is so true. And then the last one, achieving God's purposes means taking faith-filled risks. This always involves change. My dear brothers and sisters, we can't stay the same and become more Christ-like. To become more Christ-like, there is always change. There is always change. He is transforming us into the image and likeness of Himself. Another thing that we did this last year was a deeper life with Rob Reamer, and it was about soul care. And the principles that he covered was our identity, false identities. We build our lives on false identities rather than Jesus Christ. The concept of repentance, overcoming family sin patterns, forgiveness, healing wounds, and overcoming fears. Those were the topics. Please get your pencils out and mark this date. Or if you have, I don't know where my phone is. I left it right here. If you have your phone, it's already on my phone. This year, we are having Rob come back for another Deeper Life Conference, and it's going to be September 7th through 9th, 2018. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll follow a very similar format, Friday evening, all day Saturday, and then Sunday. Rob Reamer will be here. This year, we will be adding deliverance ministries. While Rob was here last time, there were several people that came and asked about deliverance, and we did some deliverances. We have had a follow-up training with Rob, and even since then, we've had several successful deliverance ministries. Satan and his minions are real. And sometimes he can get a foot, a ground in our lives, and we need to take care of that. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It's nothing to fear, but it's a real thing. This year we will be adding Rob teaching us more on deliverance. Broad brush strokes. The deeper life emphasis for 2018. My primary priorities are this. The deeper life emphasis, to continue emphasizing the deeper life in Jesus Christ, to live that, to role model it, to cast the vision for that, to preach about that. My entire life, I want to be about the deeper life of Jesus Christ and that be contagious with other people. You guys almost look like you're asleep. Do you need to stand up or something? Everyone stand up. Everyone stand up. You can only take in one end what you can endure on the other. It's one of the only things I learned in preaching class. Okay, Turn to your neighbor and shake their hand. Now turn to the neighbor on the other side. Okay. All right, everyone, please be seated. Broad brush strokes. I'm going to emphasize a deeper life in Christ until the moment I meet the Lord. I'm going to do that with all of my being until I meet Him. Another passion that I have, that part of the reason why the elders invited me to come and serve with them, is leadership development. I believe we should be raising up leaders all the time in every area of life, leadership development. And another thing, we have already arranged and engaged in a person to develop an emergency response ministry. We have a consultant that we've made arrangements with. He's already been here on site, and so the deacons, is it deacons, is that right? Or is it some? The deacons have been working on this for a while, but we're going to hopefully wrap that up this year and actually have a response ready. So this person has come through and looked at our entire facility and is making recommendations. It will also include active shooter. What if an active shooter were to come here? How are we going to respond to that? So we are working on that, and we have a person engaged. It's actually someone from the district office. The district office has provided him as a resource. He's been here, and he's going to be coming back in probably 5 or 6 weeks. He's going to provide a training. We don't have the exact date, but it'll be a Friday night just for us that he's going to talk to us, and it's probably going to be active shooter training. And then on Saturday, it's going to be a training that we're going to invite area churches to that he's going to talk about overall emergency response ministries. So those are just three kind of big priorities that we have. Any questions so far, since this is an annual meeting, before I start actually preaching? Cool. Okay, if you have your Bibles, please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, verse 19. This is a theme verse that the Lord has laid on my heart and my life. I love this passage. It's the passage where Jesus is in his hometown. He's visiting his hometown. He gets up. He's at the synagogue. And he walks over and he picks up the scroll of Isaiah. He turns and he reads from Isaiah. And this is what he says in Luke chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he... The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus sat down, put the scroll back and sat down. And today this is being fulfilled in your hearing. An amazing, amazing passage. I think this passage encapsulates Jesus' life and ministry and what he did. And so we're going to look at it one phrase at a time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Dear brothers and sisters, the moment we pray to receive Jesus Christ, we are born again. When we are born again, it means the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence within us. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not born again. Something is wrong. And then the Christ of sanctification is about the Holy Spirit having more and more of us so that he empowers us, so that literally when people look at us, they see the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, not just us. So that next time you hit your thumb with a hammer, the Holy Spirit oozes out instead of you oozing out. Anyone there yet? I'm not. When I hit my thumb, Jeff oozes out. But eventually, the work of the Holy Spirit is that when something like that happens, the response is the Holy Spirit flowing through us. And people see it. They recognize that. They begin to see something's different about this person. How can this person have this joy? How can this person maintain this good attitude? How can all these things happen? It's because the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus himself, was baptized. The Holy Spirit descended upon him, filled him, and then Jesus began his ministry. We must get back to the basics of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be being filled. Do not be drunk with wine. I've never been drunk with wine. To my knowledge, I've only ever tasted wine one time. I was in a small church in Argentina, and I don't even know if it was wine. I don't know what it was. But I had preached a message, and they said they wanted a second message. So the missionary, he preached another message. Because when those people got together, they had four-hour services. Anyone for a four-hour service here? Some people are grinning. I'm telling you, these people would walk in the snow an hour to come to church. When they came to church, and every time I'd be preaching there, I could see my breath. It was that cold in the church. Didn't have heat, just this stone, small stone building. And as you're preaching, you could see your breath going up. I thought I was hunting deer or something. And that's supposed to be funny, people. Okay, so here we are, and I preach the message. We want more, we want more. So the missionary preached the message. Then we had communion, and I was supposed to pray after we drank the cup. I don't know what was in that cup. It was clear, and it went down burning, and I started gagging and coughing and choking. The missionary just started laughing, and he prayed. I couldn't pray. I couldn't do anything. I have no idea what it is. Do not be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I do believe I know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've seen people drunk, never experienced it, but it takes complete control of them, does it not? It's not themselves. They're not in control of themselves. It's something else that's there. You know, we know the technicality that alcohol displaces, you know, the oxygen in the brain, and they do crazy things. Well, instead of being drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit does crazy things through us. But you will receive power after that. The Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. If you have a hard time being a witness, it could be that you don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you have a hard time being victorious over sin, it could be a Holy Spirit issue, that you haven't given the Holy Spirit complete control of your life. Jesus did. Jesus, the Son of God, himself had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If Jesus had to be, do you think we do? The difference is Jesus didn't leak. We do. We need to be being filled, Paul says. Continual filling. Jesus was filled and it stuck. He had perfect fellowship. He didn't have a sin nature. That is the one difference, and it's a huge one. Jesus did not have a sin nature. We do. You all know what a sin nature is? It's basic selfishness. Jesus didn't have that problem. When there were two pieces of pie, a small one and a big one, Jesus always gave the big one away. I think the bigger guy should get the bigger piece. And I'm almost always the bigger guy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, dear brothers and sisters. I hope that we're known as a church, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And the Holy Spirit is flowing through us. And amazing things happen when the Holy Spirit is present. Everywhere that Jesus went, amazing things happened. And if amazing things aren't happening in my life, if they're not happening in your life, something is wrong. And that's what this passage is talking about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Now, in the Old Testament, who would get anointed? Kings and priests. So in one sense, he's anointed me. He has appointed me. He has chosen me. He has called me. He's commissioned me. He's set me apart to do this. Guess who has been set apart? Everyone, please raise your hand. Now we know who's been set apart. Who's been commissioned? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. We have all been commissioned. We have the ministry of reconciliation. And I'm going to do a little bit. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Jesus commissioned every one of us. He's anointed us. We are the anointed one. What are we anointed to do? To preach good news to the poor. And this poor, I believe, is poor in every area. Every area. Emotionally, financially, physically, spiritually, in every area and every arena of life. I think that's why it just says poor. And he didn't qualify it. Anyone here poor? If not, I'm going to come see you afterward. I need some money. Money's only one area. Every single one. You know, the Pharisees didn't think they were poor. Jesus told the story. Hey, I've only come for the sick people. It's sick people that need a doctor. And all the Pharisees, what did they do? They walked away. Let me ask again, who here is poor? I am. I'm poor in spirit. I'm poor in intellect. I'm poor in discipline. I am poor in every area of my life. And I'm in desperate need of a Savior every day. And Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Are there any prisoners here this morning? Any prisoners to your own thought life? Jesus can set you free. He's not just talking about prisoners. I was 3 years in jail team ministry. I've gone to prisons. I've gone to jails. It includes that, but it includes us too. It includes all of us. Freedom for the prisoners. Recovery of sight for the blind. Is there anyone here that does not have a blind side? I want to. This is not a good joke. The only reason the Pope thinks he's perfect is because that boy's not married. We all have blind sides. We all do. No one does not. Recovery of sight to the blind. When the Holy Spirit fills us, He begins showing us the stuff. The stuff. He reveals the bad breath that we have. He reveals the BO that we have. You know what I'm talking about? He does it lovingly. He does it gently. Every time the Lord smacks me in the head, He tells me how much He loves me too. A little while ago when I was praying, and please forgive me of my arrogance, and He said, whoa, whoa, slow down, slow down. You hopped over arrogance. Arrogance and foolishness. You're not only arrogant, you're foolishly arrogant. And then He whispered and said, but My grace is sufficient for you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And my response was, let's get to the rat killing. Let's take care of this foolishness. Let's take care of this arrogance. Because see, I was raised to be that way. I was raised that if it gets tough, man up, get tougher. Someone gets in your face, you stand in their face that much more. Someone comes to date my daughter, I'm going to threaten their very existence. If anyone needs a rifle, let me know, okay? And you guys with daughters. No. I was raised with that, but that was wrong. It was wrong. It was wrong. It was me manning up. It was a blind side. I didn't even know it. I thought it was the right thing to do. I would bring weapons into the pulpit and just make hints. Jennifer would be crying in the front row. It's true. When she's up there helping babysit right now, ask her sometime. It was a blind spot. Recovery of sight for the blind. Not just physical blindness, but spiritual blindness, emotional blindness, and yes, real physical blindness. God can heal the blind. He can do that. But it's more than just physical blindness. It's spiritual blindness and emotional blindness. Amen? That's what we need to be known for. A church where all of this stuff's happening because God is in this place, and He's in us. And I believe He wants to do that, to release the oppressed. Anyone here oppressed? Anyone here oppressed by the enemy? Man, I felt it lately. He's after us. He's going to intensify it because He doesn't want this stuff to happen. He doesn't want Jesus to be glorified. And he is not going to sit still. He's going to come after us. I promise you. He will. But greater is he that is within us than he that's in the world. Scripture says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, our lion is bigger than him. Ravi Zacharias once said, you know how you defend a lion? You just open the cage and let him out. You just let Jesus out. You just let Jesus out. And this one I love. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I love this. Because it's talking about the year of Jubilee. Anyone know about the year of Jubilee? So every seventh year, you know, people are supposed to be forgiven stuff. And every 70, like the 49th year, entering the 50 year, God knew that some people would not be real good with finances, like me. I wouldn't have a penny to our name except for Lynette. Lynette had a budget. She knew everything. I know nothing. I'm still trying to figure it all out. So people like me, we would get in debt. But in the 50th year, in the year of Jubilee, all debt was forgiven. All debt was forgiven. If you had to sell your family farm came back to you. You started all over again. It was a brand new beginning. A brand new beginning. Everything you own came back to you and you got a fresh start again. Everything came back to you and you got a fresh start again. We're not sure. I'm not sure that Israel ever really did it. I'm not sure they ever did it, but it was in God's plan. The year of Jubilee. Jesus came back to proclaim the year of Jubilee. Because that's what we're looking forward to. We're going to spend eternity as the year of Jubilee. Lynette's experiencing the year of Jubilee right now. And we're here to proclaim it. Because everywhere Jesus went, he brought the kingdom of God there. And people saw it and were drawn to him. And when people look at me, what do they see? When people look at you, what do they see? Do they see all of these things? Do they see the power of God? Do they see the Holy Spirit? Or are we just another person standing in line at Walmart? I want people to see Jesus in me. I want the kingdom of God to be present wherever I come. Just like Jesus. Because Jesus himself said in John 20, as the Father has sent me, sikkim. Just as the Father sent me, sikkim, guys, sikkim. Get on them. Bring the kingdom of God to them. Announce the good news. Proclaim the good news. And if you need to, say something. But only if you need to. Are you with me? The loudest sermon you're ever going to deliver is when you're standing in line. And when you think no one is looking. Our very lives are the loudest message that we can proclaim. You know it's true because you know people. They talk a good talk, but they don't walk it. And what do you think about those people? They're chuckleheads. They're squirrel baits. And do you trust them? No. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And that's what I want. And I believe that's what he wants for all of us. Our working vision to be walking in intimacy with God and simply inviting others to do the same. I've told you before, when I close my eyes and I think about this, I see the image of a little girl standing on her daddy's feet and they're dancing at a wedding or something. And she doesn't know how to dance, but she's standing on his feet, so it sure looks like she's dancing. I don't know how to dance. I want to stand on Jesus' feet and just let him dance and me hold on. And when others see me, they'll see Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Walking in intimacy with Him. And so my question this morning, who do you know that needs the liberating power of Jesus? And by the way, it's got to begin with us first. If you're not experiencing the liberating power of Jesus, that can be fixed real quick. Just a prayer away. It's a lifetime of being transformed, but it's just a prayer away. It's just a prayer away. Who do you know? I've got neighbors that need it. And I pray they see Jesus in me. And by the way, according to Scripture, they're doing their job. Pray therefore, Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers into the harvest. The harvest is doing their job. Are you with me? They're sending up a storm. They're doing their job. We're the ones that need to be going. But it needs to happen in me first, in us first. And that's my challenge. Me first. Let's pray. Oh, Dad in heaven, I again just plead, please be merciful to me, a sinner. I am in desperate need of you. Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because you've been commissioned to preach the good news, to set the captives free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And as the Father sent you, so you are sending us. Please, Spirit of living God, fall fresh on me, fall fresh on us. Oh, we're in desperate need of you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. You have been so faithful this past year, so faithful, so faithful. You are always faithful. Holy Spirit, please meet each one of us this morning. Please meet each one of us and draw us to yourself. Not for condemnation, not for condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But I know that you want to draw us, to refine us, to transform us into your very image. And so please, please, please continue to knock at our heart's door. Please so work in us individually and corporately that literally we become known as people who walk with God and who invite others to do the same. Please, please, Holy Spirit, move as only you can, however you choose. Abba, Father, I ask these things, and I ask them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Please stand together with me as we sing our closing hymn.